Hey there, Super Sober Heroes. It's your host, Sober Steve, the podcast guy. And before we jump into today's episode, I want to take a brief moment to ask for your help to shape the future of gay A. Over the years, this podcast has grown and evolved as I've grown in my sobriety. And recently, I've been investing wild amounts of time, money, and energy to find ways to level up this podcast so it can get heard by the people who need to hear it. I want to take a brief moment to check in with all of you, though, to see what you love about the current show and what could be better as I'm growing and moving forward. In the show notes is a 3 to 5 minute survey for you to complete. I kindly ask that you pause this episode and take the time to complete it if you haven't already. You are kind enough to give me 20 to 40 minutes of your time each week when you listen to these episodes, and I want to make sure it's time well spent. So please let your voice be heard. Thanks, SoberPod, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Gay A, a podcast about sobriety for the LGBT plus community and our allies. I'm your host, Steve Bennett Martin. I am an alcoholic, and I am grateful for approaching 1 year of sobriety. As of this recording, I am 333 days sober, and today we're welcoming a guest to share their experience, wisdom, and hope with you. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. It's great to be here joining you from, well, usually sunny Australia, but it's raining at the moment.
Okay. Well, yes, thank you. I'm glad we were able to find times in our schedules where it all lined up. And why don't you start by introducing yourself to the listeners?
So my name is Andrew Addy. I'm coming up to 1,000 days. So about today, I am 987 days off the store. I use he, him pronouns. And yeah, like I said, joining you from Australia, I'm based in Sydney, sunny Sydney.
Very nice. Thank you. And then, so let's jump in right into the thick of it with what your journey with alcohol and addiction was like.
Absolutely. So I grew up in a place, starting right at the start. When I was a boy, I grew up in a place called Cairns, which your listeners will probably know for the Great Barrier Reef. It's quite a regional town, very different experience to, you know, people that grow up in the cities. I grew up in the, you know, I was born in 86. In 35, and there was still a lot of, you know, homophobia, blatant homophobia on the streets, but definitely through, you know, school and that sort of thing. I have sort of always experienced, you know, anxiety and depression from quite a young age, unfortunately. And of course, that's not something that I really twigged onto until I was much older, you know, came out, 17, 18. And, you know, in Australia, when you turn 18, that's the legal age for drinking, but I started drinking when I was probably 12, you know, stealing alcohol and, you know, asking adults to, you know, buy it for us, you know, naughty little kids. And yeah, sort of started a long growth history career with drinking. You know, by the time I was, you know, in my mid-20s, I was drinking, you know, if not every night, you know, definitely very, very heavy at the weekends. And, you know, my mental health just was spiraling out of control pretty much. You know, that's when the depression and anxiety was probably at its all-time high, you know, towards my late 20s. Had some, you know, pretty poor, bad experiences. Developed, unfortunately, you know, some post-traumatic stress, which just, you know, spiraled and spiraled and spiraled. I felt like I was sort of climbing this hill of anxiety and depression. And alcohol was just what I was using as a tool to, you know, sort of what I thought, you know, was, you know, helping to escape that. And, you know, as we all know, that it's not the best way to go. And I eventually, you know, really, I wouldn't say that it was hit rock bottom, but, you know, I had a nervous breakdown, which is pretty catastrophic in my life. And still, that was not enough for me to consider stopping drinking. You know, I'd been seeing a psychologist for pretty much all of my, you know, 20s and, you know, into my 30s. And, you know, I'd regularly had, you know, people, the various medical professionals telling me to stop drinking. You know, I needed to stop drinking. You know, my liver was, you know, out of control functioning, but, you know, it was just the thing that I felt that I couldn't escape and that I couldn't live without. And obviously, you know, big flashing light of, you know, definitely knee deep in addiction. And I was fortunate enough one day to somewhat stumble across general practitioner, GP here in Sydney in Australia, and they were starting a program which was basically for alcohol cessation to help people, you know, kick booze. So I very sort of somewhat reluctantly entered into the program, and it basically was a home detox program. You know, I didn't, the thought of going into a hospital detox really just scared the shit out of me, basically. And I feel like that scares a lot of people, but I did a home detox program. I was already taking antidepressants at the time and anti-anxiety medication, which was obviously not interacting that well with alcohol. But, you know, I already had that sort of tool in place. Then, you know, some medication that was prescribed by the doctor, and also some specific medication that would help, you know, reduce of alcohol and, you know, effectively render it, you know, useless. And so entered into this program, got through a week and felt okay. Got through 2 weeks, felt okay. Got through 3 weeks, and eventually I started to feel good. I started to feel really good. And I will never forget looking into the mirror probably about 2 months in and seeing my eyes, my clear eyes in the mirror, in the reflection. And I just felt so youthful. I felt young and I didn't feel haggard. I didn't feel tired. And it was this really somewhat, you know, beautiful moment that I reflect on where, you know, I kind of really fondly reflect on that. And I thought, okay, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I can do this. And, you know, at those early stages of sobriety, sort of, you know, I was somewhat white knuckling, you know, experiences in the world, and I felt quite vulnerable and exposed, and, you know, you're entering social and whatever situations, and it's kind of always on your mind. And then eventually, slowly but surely, that starts to go away. You know, I put in so much effort to stay on the path. You know, eventually I was really sort of motivated by keeping sober, and it's something that I really cherish and sort of hold on to now as like a big important part of my life. I really sort of treasure it. And you know you do that reflect, you're constant, I feel like I'm constantly reflecting, you know, about what I was like and what I'm like now. And you know, I would have laughed in my old me's face if I said, hey, if you try hard here, you're gonna start to feel really good, and you know, you're gonna feel less depressed, and you're gonna be less anxious. I mean, you're going to start living a kind of productive, joyful life out there in the world, and you're going to achieve things, and you're going to, you know, set goals, and you're going to achieve them for the first time in your life. And, you know, I have to say that stopping alcohol is the best thing that I've ever done, you know. And I feel like there's, you know, a part of everybody, you know, everyone that has sobered up and, you know, has gone through the process and everything, you feel like you've got this secret, you feel like you've got this answer, and you know, you want to get out there, and you know, and I'm sure that you could, you know, relate to this, Steve, where you want to go and share it with people, and you want to help people, and you want to share your story and say, look, I was bad, and you know, now I'm good, I'm really good. And you know, you want to share it, you want to get the word out. And sometimes you feel like you're a bit of a preacher, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all, you know, really part of it. And I, you know, have to say, getting involved in, you know, the sober and alcohol free spaces and the work that people do has been a really, you know, great and rewarding part of sobriety too. You know, through that, you're meeting other sober people, you know. And I have to say, you know, I'm a very social person. I was an extrovert. I was at the pub pretty much every night before. And I knew that I had to, you know, keep up that social interaction. But by doing, you know, your outreach activities and that sort of thing, you're meeting great people, and you're meeting people that you form friendships with. And that's definitely something that I've loved. I've loved meeting other people and hearing their stories, and it just gives you so much hope and inspiration and joy and friends, of course.
Yeah.
And so that's my story.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing it. And speaking of sharing and getting social and meeting other people, can you tell us a little bit more about your work with Untoxicated?
Yeah, so I, you know, going back to, you know, that there's kind of a point in you, you know, when you're sobering up where you realize that you don't have many sober friends. And it's something that, you know, I think is, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of sober friends, but I think it's kind of important that you do make some connections there. So I got involved with an organization here in Australia called Untoxicated, which is a social group. Basically, it's not a rehab group or detox or anything like that. It's just an organization that brings together people that want to socialize but not, you know, drink. There are some people that come to our event that still do drink. You know, you describe them as probably mindful drinkers. But of course, and then there's also people that, you know, have never had problems with alcohol. There's, you know, people that just don't like it. There's people that are allergic to it. The religious reasons, of course. And so it's this big sort of, basically we get together, you know, every week, you know, there's events on pretty much weekly and we get together and, you know, the focus is never on booze and we get out and do cool, fun things, you know, bushwalks in, you know, Australia. I keep convincing people to, you know, come swimming because that's been my, you know, huge part of sobriety is swimming in the ocean pretty much every day, but, you know, it's not as popular. You know, rock climbing, you know, anything, trivia, coffee, dinner, you know, we get together and there's something really special and rewarding. You know, we're a volunteer organization where, you know, there'll be, we have our regulars, of course, but, you know, I host events. We've got a cast of brilliant hosts across, you know, the east coast of Australia. But when someone comes to the group for the first time, you know, really, you know, socializing without booze, if you've never done it or you haven't done it recently, can be a really big sort of step for people. So we get people that come to these events and you can instantly, you know, I tell myself that I'm a really good judge of character. And, you know, you can see these people, they're very nervous, they're very scared that, you know, they're really, you know, putting themselves out there. But of course, you know, within minutes, you see that just all melt away and, you know, they really just start clicking, start vibing with the group. And, you know, it's a really beautiful thing to see when you see someone that's obviously may have been thinking about this for a long time. They've come and they've achieved the goal of going out sober and they're also meeting new people. Meeting strangers is a bit weird sometimes, but, you know, it all just melts away so quickly because you've got that common, that instant common thing where people, you're just socializing with that booth. And it's really cute.
Yeah. And in addition to the social aspect of sobriety, what are some other positive changes in your life been since finding sobriety?
Oh, sometimes I don't even know where to start with the positives. You know, I start, you know, I talk about, you know, setting goals and that sort of thing. And somewhat, I had a huge privilege, you know, as a white man, you know, in society. And I've been very lucky that, you know, despite being like a raging drunk, I could still, you know, achieve things. You know, I was still, you know, still held down my job. You know, I still had, you know, things were going okay. You know, weren't going too poorly, you know, on paper. But since I stopped drinking, it feels like things have just gone from, you know, a linear sort of, you know, very sort of average trajectory to exponential. You know, where do I start? I, you know, my career has just, you know, taken off. I, you know, not that money's important, but, you know, I got 2 promotions within a year, you know, changed careers as well. Took on running, you know, a not-for-profit charity. I'm Untoxicated. My fitness is out of control. You know, I've always loved swimming in the open. Now I do it every day. I've since become, you know, a lifesaver on a beach here in Sydney. I've also started doing competitive open swimming. And I won my first race at the weekend. And,
congrats.
You know, going back to, you know, telling your old self and what that these are the things that were possible, you know, without booze. Once again, I would have laughed, you know, in my future self space. So here we are. Like, it just feels like sometimes I can't even keep up with my goals, you know, because I'm achieving them. You know, I achieve them, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And then I have a little bit of a, like, you know, existential crisis. So I'm just like, oh gosh, I've got to come up with something good, because, you know, if you just keep ticking all these boxes and, you know, it's really, you feel crazy because you're just like, oh, I keep achieving my goals, and you feel like a bit of an asshole. But, you know, that's the truth, you know, and it's something that, you know, can, and I appreciate it can take, you know, other people a little bit more time to achieve their goals. But, you know, to the people listening, they, you know, keep on with it, you know, the benefits, you know, sometimes you don't immediately see impact or results or goals and that sort of thing. But if you stick with it, you know, I promise you will.
Yeah. And looking back on your drinking career, as you said, how do you feel your sexuality played a role in your addiction?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I reflect on all the time, actually. You know, being a part of the, you know, LGBTIQ plus community, you're an outsider, you know, generally, you know, in a lot of ways and aspects of life, of, you know, of the life that we live. And, you know, alcohol. So firstly, you know, you kind of got this, you know, thing where you just feel like, I always felt that I was sort of lurking a little bit, you know, in society, couldn't really find my place and that sort of thing. And, you know, that it presented itself in, you know, the depression and anxiety, you know, that I had. Unfortunately, you know, growing up in homophobic, you know, areas and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, that sort of set me up, and it pointed me in the direction of alcohol and, you know, other drugs. Luckily, you know, drugs never was a problem for me, but booze, you know, it's just so readily available. And it's there. It's indoctrinated into Australian society. We are heavy, heavy, heavy drinkers. It's everywhere, you know, advertising. You think about, you know, advertising in the LGBTIQ plus community. You know, we just had our Sydney Mardi Gras, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of you listeners will know about. And, you know, it's sponsored by alcohol companies. All of our bottle shops, they changed their branding to rainbow. You know, they're saying, get drunk, get wasted. You know, you have to be a part of this. You need to be drunk. You need to get wasted, and you need to, you know, experience it drunk. And, you know, with that, I think for me, it becomes really frustrating. You know, I am incredibly frustrated by it. And, you know, when people are so, you know, organizations, government, people are so happy to come out. Well, happy, we'll always come out and talk about, you know, things like, you know, if we talk about cancer, we talk about road death, we talk about, you know, other domestic and family violence that have been huge problems here in Australia. Never really talking or putting any effort or money or resources into the problem that is, into the thing that is causing 6,000 deaths per year in Australia, which is alcohol. And, you know, I find a real frustration with that. Everyone will talk about the effects of it and how it's a huge problem, but they won't talk about the problem that is causing a lot of these issues. And you can probably tell there's a little bit of fire in me about that. And I do a lot of advocacy work, you know, around that as well, because the funding is just ridiculous. You know, it's what, you know, the wonderful organizations that are set up under, you know, that are run by volunteers, you know, AA, of course, and a lot of, you know, other organizations, they all run them by volunteers. And it's like, well, hey, you know, where's the money to support all these wonderful volunteers that have usually got a lived experience of, you know, stopping drinking? You know, how much, you know, we've got to carry, you know, and it is a pleasure and a joy, but don't get me wrong, to, you know, help other people, of course, but, you know, where's the money? But how are we going to, you know, fix these 6,000 deaths a year without, you know, support and resources and that sort of thing? A little bit ranty there, but you know, especially in the LGBTIQ plus community, you know, 40, I think in Australia, 40% of people in the community engage in binge drinking activities. And, you know, that's a really recent statistic that's come out. And it's much higher than our hetero counterparts. So, you know, we know that we've got the compounding things and we're more likely to have, you know, anxiety, depression, other mental health conditions and other health conditions in general. And we're more likely to have a disability, more broadly speaking, and we're also more likely to be heavy drinkers. And, you know, when you talk about other things like smoking and other drug use too, sometimes it feels like, you know, it's all against us, but we persist, we prevail.
Yeah. And I mean, especially being in a community that like revolves around alcohol so frequently, how do you feel your sexuality has played a role in your recovery? And where is your place kind of in the community now?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I always felt radical, you know, when you're a part of the queer community, you feel like you're radical. You know, you're, like I said before, you're an outsider. And now I'm in society in the somewhat new shoes of being a, you know, sober person, and I feel radical again. So the mindset wasn't too different, because I was like, oh, I'm on the outside again. Cool. This again. And, you know, not that I would say that I experienced, you know, it's not comparable to discrimination, of course, between, you know, homophobia and not being a drinker. But sometimes it is a really bizarre experience where you have to, you know, we know that LGBTIQ plus people have to come out all the time. And I think it's once a week or something, you know, on average, you know, in our lives. But coming out as a, you know, non-drinker, you feel quite on the outside again. It's like, oh, God. So, you know, being gay, being a non-drinker, you're just like, oh, I can't believe this is happening again. But, you know, homophobia has started to subside, which is fantastic. But people will say the weirdest things to you when you do not drink, you know, which, you know, I can see laughing, Steve. You've experienced too, I would suggest. But, you know, finding a queer sober community has been, you know, quite a challenge. But they're out there, you know, clearly, you know, here we are. They're out there. It takes a little bit of time to figure it out because, you know, like I said, you know, we've got these groups, the groups that are in place, you know, we've got AA, there's other ones like, you know, Smart Recovery, you know, organizations that I run, like Intoxicated. They're not specifically, some of them, you know, aren't specifically for, you know, queer people. So, you know, you're a minority within a minority again, and, you know, finding that was difficult, you know, and it took a lot of time, but now I've got these, you know, wonderful friendships and, you know, the no contact text messages that we send each other, you know, are just very funny. And, you know, it is really quite beautiful to have those connections where you can talk about, oh God, I'm at this party and everybody's wasted and, you know, what are you doing? Let's get out. Let's get out of here. Let's get away from all this shit. You know, so it was difficult to find, but, you know, it is getting better. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the queer sober friends that I've got 100%.
I agree. And if you can give one piece of advice to someone who's sober curious or newly sober, what would it be?
I thought about that. Keep going. Keep going. Just keep going. It feels hard. It is hard. You know, you are probably going through the biggest challenge you're going to go through. Well, you know, it's going to be up there in your life, you know, especially if you've got, you know, an addiction, you know, problem. Fighting addiction is really difficult and hard. And, you know, if you can, you know, just keep, you know, day by day, break it down to the basics, look after yourself, prioritize yourself and your well-being, you know, you are going to start to see these really beautiful benefits. And, you know, I just, you know, will shout that from the rooftop to anyone that will listen, or, you know, even people that don't want to listen to.
Yeah. And in recovery, I've seen no matter what route we take, whether it be a program or a group, you know, we typically love our steps, traditions, or sayings. Do you have a favorite mantra or quote that you like to try and live by?
Yeah, so I thought about this one too. And I think I'm going to go RuPaul, or, you know, one of the queens from RuPaul. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Yeah.
And I say that because you somewhat have to be, you know, especially in early sobriety, I felt that I always had to be constantly ready for the curveball. You know, I kind of had to go into social situations, go where there was alcohol around and, you know, that sort of thing. Be prepared that there might be, you know, times when you're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to say while you're not drinking, people are going to ask you probing questions. So, you know, try and have those things, you know, as prepared in your head as possible about what you're going to say, what you're going to do, you know, having an escape plan, who are you going to talk to get out of a situation. Tell your friends that, you know, when you say you want to leave, you're going to leave. But also the thing that is really, of course, hard to prepare for is the situations you're not prepared for. So try and just have a very gentle understanding with yourself that things are going to come up where you're not prepared. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You might feel like drinking, you know, try your absolute best to remember that, you know, that's okay. Try not to, you know, panic, freak out, have a meltdown, you know, like I would and certainly did in some situations. And, you know, just try your best, you know, depend on your basics and yeah, go home, get some ice cream, you know.
I just had some ice cream for dessert right before recording.
So perfect.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your passion, which you can just feel when listening to you talk. Tell our listeners about how they can find you if they want more Andrew.
Yeah, of course. So you can follow me on Instagram. My private account is addiedawg, addiedawg. It's a long, silly, you know, ongoing joke with my family. But also I run the organization Untoxicated, which is on Instagram too. So Untoxicated with the U at the start, _AUS. And, you know, we share cool resources and that sort of thing. And if you're ever in Australia, you can come along to one of our events if you like.
Excellent.
You're more than welcome.
I'll be sure to go follow that right now.
Good.
And thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into another episode of Gay A. Please rate and review if you found this information helpful, especially on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews help other people find this podcast who need it. If you're interested in sharing your story like Andrew here or getting involved with the show, you can email me at gayapodcast@gmail.com or reach out to me on Instagram @gayapodcast. And be sure you're following us wherever you're listening so you get new episodes when they come out every Monday and Thursday. Until next time, stay sober, friends.